I'm Jennifer. I am co-founder of PageBound.
I'm Lucy. I'm the other co-founder of PageBound.
Hey, Book Gang. If you've ever wished that Goodreads felt a little more alive, that Storygraph had more community energy, or that social media book talk felt designed for your safety, I would love for you to meet PageBound, a new reading app that's making book discussion feel personal again. I don't know about you, but I've always been a sucker for badges and little rewards in my reading life. Everything from summer reading challenges, gold star charts, to personal pan pizzas when Book It was in full swing. So when I hopped on PageBound, it hit that same dopamine high, the joy of leveling up, unlocking new achievements, and celebrating every milestone with bookish people. But what surprised me the most was the warmth of the community. And honestly, the sheer fun that I had reading Nat Cassidy's When the Wolf Comes Home, for example, over spooky season, and then following every forum thread that helped me notice all the tiny story details to appreciate the craft of that book even more. And honestly, I want you to feel that same thrill, that same delight in discovering and sharing books right along with me. In fact, I could be one of your first PageBound buddies. I've linked my profile to get you started. This week's episode is another building block moment designed to enhance your reading life. Now, while I hate for the show notes to feel overwhelming, I do want to point out a few past episodes that can help you get even more out of your books and your reading routines. We've had the whole team from the Libby app come and share strategies for maximizing your library experience, including inventive tagging ideas that I think you'll love. We've also spoken with the founder of Storygraph about their startup story and how to use their platform to track your reading more effectively. And if you're looking to be a bit cozier or a more comfortable reader, check out our episode with an osteopath on positioning tips for long reading sessions, even if you have chronic pain like me. And for anyone with ADHD, we featured a coach who shares practical ways to improve reading focus and retain what you read as well. Today, we're sharing space with the co-founders of PageBound, Lucy and Jennifer, to discover how these two women built a no AI reader-first platform that's reimagining how we connect through stories online. In this enlightening conversation, we'll discuss the early days of late-night coding sessions, their approach to human-centered design, and how they are creating genuine connections for readers instead of algorithmic noise. We will also explore fresh ways to gamify your reading life through joy-filled features such as creative reading quests, which I am personally having a blast with. If you're new here, hi. I'm Amy Allen Clark, the voice behind the Book Gang podcast. This podcast celebrates debuts, backlist books, and under-the-radar book gems. Chasing that community high yourself? Join us for this month's book club. We are reading Wayward by Amelia Hart, a Reader's Choice selection for November. At the heart of this story, we uncover the empowering tale of three generations of women who must navigate male-dominated worlds and discover their inner strength. The way women find their voice made this an empowering and impactful read, especially in audio, with its full cast narration. We will meet on Zoom on November 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Please note that that is 1 week early to avoid conflicting with the Thanksgiving weekend. It's just $5 a month to join our Patreon community or save 10% with an annual plan. And if you love today's episode, I'd love for you to join me behind that paywall for our November Fully Booked podcast, where we discuss 14 buzzy books on the podcast and provide a fun guide to shop your library or indie bookshop with 32 pages of book fun from adaptations to new release news. All contributions to our Patreon or the Buy Me a Coffee link enable me to continue deep dive conversations for readers like this one. Now let's meet this week's guest. Lucy grew up as a cheeky kid, always carrying a book. She studied creative writing and business at the University of Michigan and has spent the last decade leading tech startups and launching products. Her favorite authors include James McBride, Maggie Nelson, and Jonathan Franzen. She lives with her toy Aussie Doodle, Libby, and loves ice-cold watermelon slices. Jennifer studied economics, French, and Italian at the University of Notre Dame before becoming a software engineer. When she's not coding, she's hanging out at her local indie bookstore. Her favorite authors include Lauren Groff, Mona Awad, and V.E. Schwab. She's a lifelong writer herself and is currently chasing her dream of finishing her own novel. One final thing, if you love the show, leaving a review on iTunes is a free way to support my work. And to our patrons who keep the lights on at Book Gang, I am issuing you the most gorgeous little book badge with shiny embroidered stars for being an investor here. You make conversations like this one possible. Thank you for choosing human creators in a world turned upside down by AI. Now let's get chatting. Well, I will tell you guys, I am not very good when I have more than one person on the show. It's always a juggle, but hopefully we will get this rhythm down for all of you. We are so excited to have you here and introduce people to your platform. I have to start with your reading lives because I feel like this has to be absolutely fascinating with your platform and how you guys are reading. Tell me about what kinds of readers you are. Lucy, I want to hear about your reading life first.
Yeah, So I was an English major in college, and I would say prior to PageBound, my taste was largely classics, lit fic, big fan of, the Booker Prize type of books. Starting PageBound actually changed my reading taste a lot. So I am now very big into genre fiction. In particular, got really into adult fantasy books, which fantasy was always a genre I'd enjoyed a lot growing up in middle school, but somehow had never revisited as an adult. And now I'm a huge fan of. I'm also very, very heavily influenced by the read-along books that we pick on PageBound. So I find that often pushes me out of my comfort zone. But I would say at my core, I'm a lit fic girl. Usually my five-star reads are definitely a little bit highbrow, a little bit women being naughty and, whatnot is kind of my wheelhouse.
Okay, then you're in my wheelhouse too. I love that. Okay, Jennifer, tell me about your reading life.
I have a very similar story / taste as Lucy. It's one of the things that we actually connected over initially was our love for literary fiction. One of my favorite authors is Lauren Groff, big fan of, yes, women being naughty, but just anything that's beautiful prose totally sucks me in. Love that. Also, since starting PageBound / being on Book Talk, actually, I've tried to branch out more into genre fiction and more. I get huge book FOMO. So if something's really popular, even if I don't think I'm going to like it, I just want to be in the conversation. So I'm always picking up stuff just to kind of branch out and see what the conversation is all about. But yeah, my wheelhouse is definitely more literary fiction as well.
Okay, you guys are my people. All right, you have to tell me, what has been one of the big breakout hits in your reading stack that you were really surprised by this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I can't say I was surprised, but no, actually, I do have one that I was surprised by. I laugh about this with Lucy all the time. I was shocked that I loved Phantasma by Kaylee Smith, I think her name is, and her follow-up sequel, Enchantra. I'm not usually a smutty spice girl at all, but I was so sucked into these books. They were both 5-star reads. I'm obsessed with them. It's gothic spicy fiction. So not something that I would totally normally be into, but I am absolutely obsessed with those books. They're so good.
I'm going to sit on my hands so I don't make any requests while we are sitting here. Lucy, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, Jennifer influences me a lot. So that one's definitely on my TBR as well now. But probably for me, it's The Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett.
Okay.
I'm a huge murder mystery person, more of classic detective novels. I've read all of Agatha Christie, and I didn't realize that murder mystery plus fantasy was a thing. So this was my first book in that genre and loved it. Love the murder mystery, but also the world building sprinkled in is chef's kiss.
Yeah, murder mysteries are not something that I have really gotten into. I would say a little bit of cozy mystery sometimes, mm-hmm. especially in the dark winter months. I'm please give me something to latch onto.
Yeah.
But I really need to read that because I've heard such incredible things about that. I have to say, Jennifer, though, yours are surprising because I actually have not heard anything about these books. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I highly recommend. I have to credit Book of the Month for getting me into that one.
Okay. Yeah, they do have great taste for sure. Well, I'm excited because we are going to get to talk about your platform. And I feel like the best way to do so is to start at the beginning. So can you tell us a little bit about the idea for this platform and how this all started for you guys?
Yeah. So Jennifer and I, we both worked in tech. We actually worked at a startup together in the financial services space, as random as that is. And, you know, in most tech companies, you are not often going to find a lot of readers. So Jennifer and I kind of bonded immediately over our shared love of books. And then I think about 2 years after we had left that company, we were both kind of hitting like 30, like midlife crisis 30, and very disillusioned with our corporate jobs. I'm, you know, on the like business and design side. Jennifer's a software engineer. And when it came time, like before we even had the idea for PageBound or anything, we were both really itching to start our own thing and started chatting. I had heard through the grapevine that she was unemployed and looking. Yes. And I was in the same place. So we started by kind of trying to, you know, be really broad-minded and think what we could do together, because we felt like our skill sets together were a really good match and complementary. And we just kept coming back to the fact that we both loved reading so much. It was like a genuine passion of ours. And we tried really hard not to start a book business, honestly, because I think starting a book business is really tough. I mean, I'm sure your listeners are not going to be surprised by that. Like, the publishing industry is tough. There's not a lot of money in this space. Obviously, there's like Amazon, who's like has a chokehold on the whole industry, right? And so we knew that like, oh, we're going to create like a new bookish social media was going to be a really, really hard problem to solve. And especially because from day one, we knew we wanted to self-fund this and not take venture capital. And we really wanted to be able to build this according to our values. So I think given all that, we ended up coming up with this idea mostly because we just could not let it go. As readers ourselves, we were intimately familiar with both the solutions that are already out there, as well as what we think is lacking, which is really a place to discuss books as you read them. So our like kind of lightning rod of an idea behind PageBound, which is that every single book has its own forum. It's essentially a mashup between Goodreads and Reddit, actually came like very easily to us. It was kind of, you know, from day one, we were kind of like, we really think this should exist. And it was like a process of like having a lot of faith in that idea, because as a team of two, we had to spend a lot of time just ourselves building it before we really had any users. And then luckily, when we did launch, we found that it really resonated. And like that messaging as well has converted so many people to PageBound, because I think a lot of people agree with also what we saw, which is, how come I can only like talk about books at the end and leave a review? Like, or like, what if I don't have a book club in person? And I really just want to like form a book club around the book that I'm actually reading right now.
I love this idea. You know, first of all, I think it's very interesting that you guys started in that space and then moved over into this space. And, you know, even with technical background, you know, creative backgrounds are a little bit different, and you both have this important skill set that's required, and also the creative mind behind what needs to be launching. Of course, I worked for startups, and my husband also was part of a startup. And I think one of the things that we don't often talk about, or that feels a little bit vulnerable, is that you have to sacrifice something to be a startup. And I'm wondering, because you had that warm corporate blanket in some ways, right? The stability of a corporate blanket, you leave that behind to try something new. What have you guys been sacrificing in order to make this a reality for you both?
The better question is, what haven't we been sacrificing? Like, truly, it's everything. And Lucy has too. We saved up for years to be able to put ourselves financially in a position to support ourselves through, you know, the years of not having a lot of profit coming in. I, after a year, moved back in with my parents, actually. So I'm living at home. Huge sacrifice there. Can't tell you the last time I bought a new pair of clothing. That would be nice. Like, you know, yeah. it's all like the creature comforts that you really sacrifice. And I think too, lifestyle wise, you don't realize how much your business becomes your life. PageBound, I think about it 24/7. I'm out with my friends. I'm thinking about PageBound. I'm looking at my phone. I'm checking things. I'm like itching to get back and like fix this bug, go do this idea, talk to Lucy. Like, you really, your brain never shuts off. So like, yes, you have the material sacrifice, but like truly it takes over your life in a way that has been honestly very, very fun and very, very fulfilling for me, but in a way that I could have never anticipated as well.
Yeah.
I've honestly sacrificed a lot of reading time too, sadly. Like, you think that we'd be reading a lot more, but like, my TBR is longer than ever and I have way less time to read. So that's also a huge sacrifice.
Totally. I mean, starting a book podcast, I'm going to have like, this is my livelihood. Like, I'm going to like make this work. And I understand like trying to get something off the ground, but also there's so much prep time that goes into something, right? And it's same with the back end of the business. Things have to also be running in order for us all to reap the rewards of it. And so my reading life also has suffered from doing something in the book space.
Yeah, totally.
What about you, Lucy?
Yeah, I think, well, I'm in a bit of a different situation because I'm married. So I am living in Brooklyn, New York still, which I feel like most people are like, how do you afford that? It's really because my husband is paying for my lifestyle and he has a job still in tech. So I'm very thankful for that. But I think for me, the sacrifices, it's more on, in many ways, I've become the public face of PageBound, mostly because I'm not technical. So like, frankly, I need to like pull my weight. And that has been, I think, a big journey for me as a very private person who like prior to PageBound was not even on social media, like had no public social media accounts myself. I think I've had to learn how to like grow a thick skin and do this kind of brand new skill set that I would I've never honestly imagined myself doing. And at this point, I like have fully embraced it. It is fun for me. I think I'm better at it now. Oh my gosh, when I first started, it would take me like an hour to film like a 5-minute TikTok, you know, a 5-second TikTok, and then it would get 50 views, you know? So I think for me, it's the sacrifice of maybe having to do work that you never thought you would want to do. But at the end of the day, because it's like for our business and like I feel so much passion and ownership over this, it's definitely all worth it.
Yeah. I was telling Lucy before we started recording that I am astounded by your TikTok. Like all of it is insane to me. Just to put in perspective and speaking to like 15 minute prep time, I make deals with myself that I can go and pick up my Panera drink for my Sips Club only if I do a video for my TikTok. And I will be out there for like an hour and a half sweating in my car. Like, you can do this, you can get it done. But it's like one of those things that you just have to practice in order to like get better at anything. And it is the same with that. And I think for, you know, someone on the outside, it looks like something that would be easy for you because I'm catching up towards the end of where you're at now with it. But, you know, knowing that that's not really your comfort zone is very surprising to me.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. No, I think part of the, I mean, I'm sure you can relate to this having worked at startups too, is you end up doing every single job.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Like, it's just Jennifer and I. So like, if you write into customer service, you're going to hear from Jennifer or I. Like, you know, if you have a question on social media, like if you're DMing PageBound, you're literally DMing me. And so there's really no barrier. Like, I love that, frankly, about our business is we get to talk to our users so closely. And I think that's helped us honestly build an incredible product that people genuinely want, both because we're readers, like we know what readers want, but also even when people are like, oh, I have an idea for this thing, you know, like da 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 da. It's like, we know immediately what you're talking about. Like, we know because we're readers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into how this all started, like with your first users, what this first mock-up looked like. How did you get and settle on this particular design?
Yeah, it went through a lot of iterations. So we'll start there. I mean, Lucy made wireframes and mockups that we cycled through, gosh, probably close to a dozen different looks, feels, product combinations. But one of the hard things about launching an MVP or like a minimum viable product in this space is that there's already so many options out there that we knew we couldn't just put out a basic tracking app because there's already a million out there. Mm-hmm. You can't differentiate on that. So we spent a lot of time developing a lot of different features and really thinking about what's going to make us stand out while also making us functional. So we launched pretty much with like a V2, V3 product on day one. So we had fully fledged tracking. We had to get our library up, like have our database because Goodreads doesn't issue API keys anymore. So you really have to start your own database from like book database from scratch. And we knew the discussion piece and like the social piece with every book being its own subreddit was really going to be the foundational piece of this, so that we needed to make the forums, the commenting, the notifications, the home feeds, all of that needed to work perfectly as well. So I think from a feature set, we were pretty aligned on what we were going to do. And we had some features in our initial offering that no longer exist. We can get into that if that's interesting. But I think more than anything, it was the look and feel that we had a tougher time nailing down before we ended up with our like nostalgic early 2000s, like very colorful and bright feel that we have today.
Interesting. Yeah, I was thinking about you both being female and, you know, I don't want to get into too many gender roles, but I do feel like there are some touches with this space that are, you know, speaking to me as a female user of this. And I'm wondering what specifically you think maybe as two women leading this company, you are bringing into forum spaces that maybe in other like more male dominated spaces or, you know, more tech bro kind of spaces that exist that you're doing differently for your users.
Yeah. I mean, we describe ourselves as Goodreads meets Reddit, and Reddit is like a very male-dominated social media space. And honestly, I don't really enjoy using Reddit. Like, my husband is on it all the time, but I've always found it to be a little bit mean, honestly. Yeah. And, you know, I think PageBound does not feel like that. Like, even though we've definitely taken product inspiration from Reddit, we have an upvote-downvote system, we have text-based forums just like Reddit, the vibe is like entirely different on PageBound. It is so kind, so welcoming. I think some of that is like Jennifer and I from day one have been very, very involved in being on the product ourselves and modeling the kind of behavior we think this community should be about. We post about books just like any other user. We have to earn our points too. We do not just give ourselves, you know, the highest badge level possible. And I think that kind of natural, you know, authentic engagement has created the community we have now, which is definitely not just Jennifer and I. Like, we owe our early users so much. We've had so many like top contributors who like, I mean, they send me screenshots of their screen time on the app and I'm like, aww, is that healthy? Like, maybe you should go touch grass because that is like a lot of hours.
No, don't touch grass. Stay on the app. Stay.
We love it. But no, they're at this point, like when we first started, Jennifer and I made probably like 10 fake accounts each because we were like, there's nobody that's going to be on here. We have to like create the conversation. Like, we don't want our first like 100 users to be like, this is dead. And we had all these fake accounts. And honestly, we didn't really have to use them for that long. Yeah. Like, very quickly, we kind of found folks who were willing to be that early adopter, who maybe in the beginning they were felt like they were talking into the void because there was no one else on the platform reading the book they were reading. But they have been with us since day one. And now the platform is so vibrant and alive because of them. And I think a lot of that is just from, like tone. Like, we value kindness. We value being welcoming. And because our older users emulate that behavior, we think new users kind of get the idea as well when they join. And also, I think we have made like product decisions that differentiate us from what else is out there. And I think that helps set the tone as well. Like, we knew as soon as you sign up for PageBound, we want the vibe to be very obvious, right? Which it is, like pastel and pretty and whimsical. And I think when you're using a product visually that just feels and looks like that, you're in a different mind space already than maybe something that looks like Reddit.
Yeah. And I'll just butt in real quick here. Like, when that curation, like vibe curation, we'll say, was something that was so intentional, and we really like pinpricked where we were going to inject that. And like, the first screen that you land on when you're creating your profile, we say at the very top, the vibe here is playful and judgment-free. Create a account or like create a profile that reflects your true reader self. You can go for anonymity. So like, right off the bat, you're like, okay, judgment-free space. This is going to be fun. We really want to set the tone immediately that we're not going to do like drama, riffraff, be mean girl here. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's like welcome to the conversation.
Yeah, I love that, because I did sign up for an account and I can't wait to do some quests. I was actually looking at a whole bunch of quests today. So it really is such a warm space and I immediately felt at home. I want to know, so you had a bunch of burner accounts. How many users do you have now?
We have 50,000 users now. Yeah,
it's so exciting. Such a great number.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. I want to get in a little bit on, obviously, a lot of us use lots of different reading platforms for our reading life. Goodreads, maybe for social, Storygraph. I know I use for just tracking and reading statistics. I love to document my reading life there. And now I have this as part of my workflow. So I want to hear how you think these are different, how I can encompass that into what I'm already doing. So a lot of people are already on other platforms, but how do I add this into my workflow? And also, can I import my reading and all of those kinds of things to make this all very seamless for me as a user?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first, yes, you can import your reading from either Goodreads or Storygraph. Like, welcome to do either. We have lots of people do that. We also have lots of people that want to start fresh, though. So I think people have been on these platforms for so long that maybe your TBR is like 1,500 books long and you don't want to import all of that over, which I totally understand. I think the way that we view ourselves in this prism of like Goodreads, Fable, Storygraph, there's so many options out there, but we are really the place to go to for discussion. We are the place to go to connect with other readers, especially if you don't already have a built-in community and you're really searching for that community. Fable positions itself as somewhere that you can go do that, but they're a little bit more like a traditional social media where you get a lot of pictures, you get a lot of like short form content. And we are really the place to go to for more long form, in-depth discussion and content about books specifically and not about who you are as a person or like trying to do pictures and stuff, because we're really, really text-based. So that is an immediate differentiator on the social side. We are still ramping up our tracking abilities. Like, we from day one have had a quite robust tracking abilities. It's not like we don't have the fundamentals. Like, you can absolutely track read dates, statuses, all the whole nine yards. But in terms of like having very in-depth graphs or like telling you how many pages you read on December 18th, 2001, like, we probably aren't going to be the platform for you yet. We will get there eventually, but we're really, again, honing in on the social side of things. So I think where we view ourselves is like, if you really, really care about stats, if you really, really care about which edition of Pride and Prejudice you read, you are going to want to go to Storygraph or Goodreads and track that stuff. And then you can come to us to actually have the discussion. And if you're a little bit less intense about the stats and the tracking, we have all the tools already available for you. And that's not to say that we won't one day get to the point where we can compete with Goodreads and Storygraph. We need a little bit of time. We're pretty new.
Yeah, I get that. I was really entertained, I guess, when I uploaded my information into it. I did import my data into it so that I could, you know, have all my reading life in there. And the thing that I noticed regarding your quest activity, which I want to, you know, talk about that a bit, was that all of those were already like checked, the ones that I had read from my old reading life, like that had transferred over, which was so nice and so surprising. So I would like log into a quest and I'm like, I've already checked three or four, and I was already receiving points and feeling like very validated before I even really put a foot into anything formally.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the quests. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so quests are our version of reading challenges. We have a lot of fun with the naming of different features on PageBound. And so we have main quests and side quests, which, you know, I think there's a big overlap between gamers and readers. So this is a shout out to the gamers. You know, they're pretty much named aptly. So like a side quest is like a shorter 10 to 15 book journey you can go on, explore a new genre, earn a cute trophy, which are our digital badges. And then main quests are meatier. They're 30 books or more. You have different tiers of quests, you have different tiers of badges from bronze, silver, and gold. And we design all the badges in-house. You know, I design most of them, actually. And they become like little trophies that you can pin to your profile and like showcase your reading taste. So I think the thing that people love about reading challenges is obviously having the goal that they can chase after. For us, because we also have a forum for every quest, we also see it as like a social hub. So a way to not just talk about an individual book, which you can do on the book page forum, but talk about a theme of books, a, you know, niche or a genre of books, and kind of also meet other reader friends, because you can see everyone else who's joined that same quest. So probably if you've joined the same quest, you might have similar taste.
I love that. So it's gamifying your reading life in a way, because everyone wants to earn gold stars. And I love that. You know, I'm always seeking gold stars for everything. I'm hoping I get one after this episode, honestly. Like every time I do an episode, I'm like, I deserve a star for that. So I love that that's an element of it and that you can find your people. Has there been a quest that's been a favorite that you've done?
I mean, this is maybe a preview, but so our quests are, you know, some of them are created by Jennifer and I based on, you know, what the community kind of requests. And then a lot are created by top contributors. And there's one that's coming out that's like classic British mysteries, which I just know I'm going to get like 100%
totally
because I'm already very well read. So in that genre. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. And Jennifer's made some really good ones too. What's your favorite, Jen?
My very first quest was the Dark Academia quest. I love that one. That's my favorite genre. So I'm still working on that one. I recently came out with two, which I adore also. I'm going to be working on reading all of them, which is Feminine Rage and Supporting Women's Wrongs. So
nice. I like that. Yeah. I love that. If I'm a new user, what is my first experience? Should it look like, or what would you like to see me doing as a new user on your platform?
That's a great question. So ideally, what I would love to have our new users do is just put in what book you're currently reading and then click to the forum. I think that is like the best way to see what makes Pagebound different. Who can I like jump in and talk to here? The forum is set up so you make a post about what you're thinking, what your theories are, your questions at a specific point in the book, and you indicate, okay, this thought was from 5%, it was from page 22. And as soon as you land on the forum, everything is sorted by percentage. So when you put in your first currently reading book and go to the forum, you can immediately see like what the community has to say about something. And that is like such a different experience, I think, really, than anything we've seen on the internet. I think the most akin experience is Fable book clubs, but those are like so tight knit. This is really everybody on the platform. So it makes it very easy too to see who you vibe with. You're probably going to go on the forum and find somebody who's making hilarious posts. You click on their profile, you can start following them. It's very easy from there to start making new reader friends. Yeah.
Who makes the starting round? Is it people that were the first person to read that and then opens the discussion, or are you setting some like standard discussions up for people?
It is a total blank slate. We don't do anything. Everyone can just post as they wish. There's necessarily going to be some duplication there. Like probably a lot of people are going to be posting from, you know, that like great turning point in thriller, right? And that's fine. You're going to see a lot of different takes, but I think that also makes it really interesting because you can see like what 20 people thought, or people will chime in and you'll have a post that has like 60 comments on it. There's like this whole big discussion happening. Some people are going to come in with like the hot take. Some people are going to come in with the comedian take. Some people are going to come in with the literary analysis, and you see all of that in one snapshot.
Have you ever read a book and you were like, you opened up the forum chat and you were like, this really surprised me, like everything about this discussion? Is there a book that was wowing you with the conversation around it?
I have an example, Lucy. Do you have
one? Go for it.
By 1984 had the very surprising forum because I didn't read it in school. So it was my first foray into it. And there's a lot of like misogynistic themes, like the main character, everyone agrees that he sucks. But I was really surprised to see how like that had kind of overshadowed the broader themes of the book about like authoritarianism, fascism, like freedom of speech, all of these other things for like just how much people hated the character. And it was really, really fascinating how you can have, you know, different people go and like see this book and like not be able to look past certain things or get so stuck on certain things. And I really like changed my viewing of the book too, because I was also getting stuck on those things. It kind of like influences you as you read a little bit, or like makes you pick up on things that you probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing that's interesting about our forums is we intentionally don't have timestamps on posts or comments. And in terms of your question about who starts the conversation or like that kind of concept, because we don't have timestamps, there's no sense of like, you literally don't know how old a post is. And so it kind of feels like you're always in this ongoing conversation about any book in your library. And that was like a very intentional decision because, you know, if you think about, I don't know, any book like Pride and Prejudice, if you're reading that today, why is that not relevant if someone's reading it 6 months later? Like, why can you not be in conversation with them? And I think a lot of social media has trained us that if there's a timestamp that's 3 days old. Oh, like people have moved on. The conversation's moved on. Like I shouldn't bother to respond to that because it's not active. And that is the opposite of the experience on PageBound. Like it really feels like you can comment and engage with anything. And then for the person, if they're the original poster and they did post something 6 months ago, it's actually delightful to get reminded about a book you read 6 months ago. And like someone is having an amazing experience with that now. A lot of our users have said, oh, this was like so weird at first, but now I totally love that you guys don't have timestamps.
Yeah, no, that's so thoughtful. I just had a conversation that I recorded with Erin Crosby Eckstein, and she convinced me to read Jane Eyre. And we talked about it like it was like the newest, hottest gossip. Like, have you heard? Like, did you know about the Bronte sisters? And we were talking about it. And it was honestly like, I'm like, there should be like just a classics gossip show because it's so fun to, you know, discover something for the first time that so many other people consider a beloved classic. And I will delight in any person who reads Jane Eyre after I've read it. And I will delight in conversation around it because it was so impactful to my reading life. So I love that you have that feeling that you're never, you know, behind on something. I do think, you know, we're always behind. So it's nice that that sensitivity doesn't exist in this space. You're kind of like in the ether, like just enjoying life and your reading life whenever you come to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So are you moderating any of these conversations or you just let them exist on their own?
We do have community moderation tools. So like we have the same upvote, downvote system that Reddit does. And we've honestly found that to be like very effective in terms of the community kind of deciding as a whole what is quality content, what is less quality. You know, we obviously have really strong content guidelines when it comes to anything that would be offensive or hate speech or anything. And we take all of that very seriously. There's like tools to flag, to block. I mean, just like any other social media, you want to feel safe, right? And we've definitely thought about that from day one. But in terms of the types of convos, I think because we're like a very, like we aren't Instagram, right? We're very niche. We literally are a social media only for readers. And I think readers generally, you know, we haven't had any content, like we haven't really had any moderation issues. Like people are kind and they just want to talk about books and they just want to geek out over their favorite read. And it feels like very wholesome and kind.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I do feel like whatever you cultivate, you attract. And that's why it has probably not been as difficult to be moderating. Some other spaces probably bring in a different kind of vibe. And that is not the case with this product. I know that you guys have recently developed the app, which has been, you know, everyone always wants to know, when's that coming out? When's the app coming out?
Yeah.
Tell us about the app. And then also tell me what new features you guys are hoping to launch soon.
Sure. Yeah. The app was a long time in the making. We were super, super excited to get it out the beginning of this past month. So the beginning of October. We wanted to make the features like pretty much parallel with what's on web. We have a few new things, which were really exciting, but the biggest upgrade or change was actually in the aesthetic and the style. So the app is a little bit more, how would you call it, Lucy? Like updated, futuristic. I don't know how to quite describe it, but it doesn't have the same like old internet feel that the website has. It's like, it has that DNA, just a little bit more modern.
Yeah, we like to say that our app and our website are sisters, not twins. And I think because we were a platform originally on web, like web feels like your, you know, early 2000s internet forums, and it's got a lot of that like nostalgic elements. And then when it came to designing the app, we wanted it to still feel sleek and modern and like an app and have all of the functionality of that. And so we kind of had to adapt the design. And I think actually the result is that like both designs suit web and app well for each other. And we're not going to change our web design at all. So it's kind of cool because we kind of, you can see the evolution of our small team and of PageBound just like even by looking at the design. And yeah, I think both capture like the kind of color and whimsy that like we're known for at this point. It's like very much our differentiator and part of our brand. But yeah, the vibe is kind of more, I think it's like groovier on the app. It's more like 70s.
Yeah.
Like witchy.
Yeah. Yeah, we spent a lot of time making Pinterest boards, like nailing down, you know, inspiration words, figuring out what the vibe was that we were going for. And I think we nailed it. It's very, very colorful, which can be divisive. But for the most part, people tend to love that. I think we're so used to seeing like pretty bland white beige apps that are very clean. And we kind of rejected that in favor of maximalism. And I think too, great success, if I do say so myself.
My daughter is actually going to school for user interface design. And so I'm going to have her look at it and give her opinion too on it. That's what my husband also does for work. And so I had showed him the work that you guys did and he loved it because it is so fresh and fun. And I think what you're doing is so innovative. I want to talk about one element that also you are trying to stand out from the crowd with, which is your policy on AI. So this is obviously a hot button topic. It's, you know, something that's really affecting my job. It's affecting a lot of people's jobs. People have very strong opinions about AI and how it's being used. And you have a promise that you are going to not use AI. And I think it's bold. And I also am wondering how hard that will be to commit to over time. Just being someone who has worked in tech and also has people in her house that work in tech, tell me about this decision and your stance on it and why it's so important to say that to your users.
Yeah, for us, you know, it's really an ethics issue. So, you know, generative AI, obviously, there's so many thoughts about it. I mean, it's bad for the environment. It's bad for our brains. There's like new studies coming out about overuse of AI. But also, I think in particular, for the book community, the costs of it are really, really steep. And it like definitely today already negatively affects the writers, the creatives in this industry. I mean, it literally steals their work and does not pay them, right? So, you know, your intellectual property as a writer can just be zoomed up into this machine. And that's what they're using to make whatever they're generating, whether that is more writing, whether that is a recommendation, you know, that's what they're using. And so it comes at a cost. I think for us, knowing that this directly affects, like we were building a reader platform, right? And like knowing that this directly affects the people that are crucial to our community, it was like a very easy decision, honestly, to not use AI and not use AI in the future. And I actually think that it's become, you know, at first it was literally just like an ethics thing that we wanted to do internally. Now it like people really value it and it's become a big differentiator for us. But I actually don't think that AI is better than humans at making book recommendations. And that's usually how AI is used in different like book trackers, book apps, is like they scan your whole library or something and then like give you, you know, a set of what you should add to your TBR next. But I think in practice, that's not actually how people read. Mm-hmm. I think like people are actually way more likely to take a recommendation from a human, whether that's an actual friend they know in real life or someone they met on PageBound. And it's actually helped us because now that we don't use any AI, like every single recommendation on PageBound is so unique. Like our lists have become like one of my favorite features because anybody on PageBound can make a list. We ask that you like get creative with the title and like think about it like you're making an OG Spotify playlist, right? Mm. And like Spotify has like AI DJs now.
Oh, I know. Like, this one, it's horrible.
Oh, yeah, right? Like I feel like you can kind of, that's kind of to me like the parallel. Yeah, like AI can make you a playlist, but it doesn't feel the same, nor does it have the same meaning as if your friend may do that playlist, you know?
Yeah. And I think like to jump off on that point, the human curation element of this is like, yes, I think it's ethically the right thing to do. And we are so ethically anti-AI, yes, but also just for the quality of what you're getting, a human could never compare to like machine learning. It's so obvious when you go on Goodreads, when you go on a lot of other platforms, like you see the recommended titles underneath and it's exactly what you would expect, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's what you would put in if you Googled, like, what are the top mysteries of 2025? You're going to get the same answer there as you would on a major book platform that's not human curated, that's like machine learning curated. Whereas on PageBound, like, you genuinely get titles that you would have never seen before because there's no money involved. No one's sponsoring these. It's just somebody who's an avid reader telling you what they think you would like, what they liked. And it's something that, like, a robot, an algorithm, machine learning could never provide.
Yeah, we do book lists for each of our episodes for our show. And yeah, I am very proud of it. And I spend like weeks and weeks on it and thinking about it and what the theme will be. And also being mindful, obviously, like for me, Google ranking is important. So like, what are people looking for? And how can I also do that? But, you know, it's very easy to stand out. I think right now, in speaking to the AI thing, because AI slap is being handed to all users right now. I mean, you go on the internet and it's literally a garage sale. Like, you have no idea what you're going to get. And it's becoming very difficult, I think, to find what you're looking for. So when you find people who are actually taking the time to be a human creator and putting lots of love and thought into the things that they do, I do think that that naturally stands out to users as well. What are you guys working on ahead? And where do you see this all going in the future?
We are working on so many things. The to-do list is absolutely endless. For the remainder of the year, we're really tightening up a lot of the core features that we already have. I think with all of the new growth that we've seen after the app, it's become obvious to us some of the projects that were like, okay, we're going to do this after the app, they've become more urgent. So we're really taking the time to make everything perfect up until the new year. And then our next big push is going to be preserving the wonderful community that we had at, you know, 10,000, 20,000 users, making sure that scales. So our 100,000 or 200,000th user still finds community and feels like it's tight knit in a way, and not like, you know, speaking out to the void, you can't make a friend. So we're going to be doing a lot more like community centered features. Like, we've been toying around with the idea of guilds. So maybe like filtering you by genre, or like giving you a quiz, figuring out what type of person, kind of reader you are, and grouping you into a sort of cohort. So you have like a built-in like page-bound family as soon as you join. Figuring out different creative ways that we don't really see in social media to make sure that you find your community on PageBound.
I love that. I want to talk about how people can support you, because as a startup, you need support. Are you ever thinking about getting investors involved in the space, or you do want to keep this more community funded?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like venture investors, I think they're looking for a certain type of business model that's going to get them a return that it doesn't really fit our vision, right? Like, we want to be a community platform. We want to build features for the good of the community and not because they're going to generate something for whoever the investors are behind the scenes. Having been around the block and like worked in tech for 10 years each, you know, I think we've seen a lot of companies. We've worked for other companies that have been venture capital backed. And I think it just like creates sometimes mixed incentives. Whereas when it's just us, like, you know exactly who we are. We're very transparent about that. You know, like, and yeah, it means sometimes we're resource constrained. It might mean that like features take a little bit longer to come out. But I think that's part of the reason, the beauty, right? Like, why does someone buy a book from an indie bookstore versus Amazon's 2-day shipping? It's because it's okay. You can wait the 7 days to receive your book because you're, you know, putting your money where your values are, right? And you're supporting something that means something to you as a community and you want it to exist. And I think we think of our business kind of like that too. You know, we have built a free product, right? Like, the product that is the free version, we're never going to paywall it or make it bad so that people have to pay us. Like, that is not part of the value system here. Like, the product is in many ways also the community. So we want people to be able to participate no matter their financial means. But, you know, we do have a PageBound royalty subscription now. It is $10 a month. And people have the option to either sign up for that or make a one-time contribution, since I know times are tough and subscriptions are not for everyone. And it's kind of totally voluntary. It's kind of out of the goodness of people's hearts at this point. You know, we will be rolling out more features specific to royalty. But as of now, you get a cute crown. You get a badge for recognition. You know, there's nothing like crazy differentiating it from the free experience. I think it's more just like people who, you know, resonate with the message that Jennifer and I are putting out. Like, the fact that they want to support us, I think, means the world. And I do actually think you can build a sustainable business that is funded by your community. I think that's how small businesses thrive in most communities, you know? And I think, like, we're trying to do this in a really different way. We, again, don't want to be like the evil Facebook or whatever, like that kind of social media. Like, we want to be small, community run. I think, like, you know, for us, it's not a matter of getting to a million users just to get there. Like, we want people who find a good fit in PageBound and really get value out of it. And like, if you can also financially support us and keep this platform alive, knowing that that money literally goes to pay Jennifer and I, hopefully a living wage, but also like support other folks on the platform who aren't in a financial position to contribute and gets them free access to like our incredible features, our book database, like everything that we've built for this community.
I love that. Well, ladies, this has been such a treat. Every episode when we end, which I didn't put on your sheet, is that we always talk about what you're feeling proud of, whether it's with this project or just life in general. And it gives me a chance to just say thank you so much for sharing about this. I am so excited to go on some quests. I am thrilled that we have a landing page here on the podcast so we can keep pointing people back to the services that you offer. I think it's incredible. We need more warm, cozy reader spaces to visit, especially in a time where we have been feeling quite disconnected. So I think you are filling in the gap in a really, really beautiful way. And I'm just really grateful that you took the time to tell about your company to me and to all of us. And I would love to hear, Jennifer, what are you feeling proud of right now?
I am feeling really proud of our 50,000 number, honestly. Like, that is, it's been such a long journey to get there. And every time I log in to PageBound and I see this vibrant community chatting with each other, people who are actually friends, like people who have made friendships on PageBound that are, they say, have changed their lives and are friends outside of PageBound, warms my heart and makes all of it worth it. So I'm feeling very proud of that this week.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us, Amy. This has been a lovely chat. I mean, I honestly, like, every week, honestly, somebody will post in PageBound Club, which is kind of like our community hub where it's not necessarily book specific, but it's like bookish chatter. And someone will be like, someone will post something about PageBound, like totally unspot, like we're not asking them to do it. And often it'll make me cry because it is, I think, like, Jennifer, like, you know, starting a business is such a big leap of faith. Like, we kind of talked about everything we've sacrificed to do this. And, you know, for so long, it was just our faith, like, kind of pulling us through this. And so many people in my life were like, what are you doing? My parents are like, what are you doing? And I think now that it's real and, like, real users actually get value out of it, like, people have said, you know, hey, this has made me fall back in love with reading. Like, I use PageBound more than I use Instagram. Like, you know, this feels like the kindest, most wholesome place on the internet right now. Like, all of those things mean so much because, like, that is exactly the faith that we had from day one. Like, that is what we were trying to build. And so I think to now see it, you know, 50,000 strong and hopefully, you know, one day, like, hundreds of thousands of people will also get to discover PageBound. Like, that's what keeps me going because starting a business is really hard. And I think, you know, genuinely, like, we love reading and we love readers. And I think that's what keeps us going.
I'm rooting for you. I can't wait to hear when you hit that 1 million mark or something and we can, like, reflect on how far you guys have come. And just genuinely so proud of you both and so happy to share space with you today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This was so great. Thank you.